Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Alam patak shila daro guna karo. Shrishta parardhya vyatito dukkiteshu. Abhuta shatrur jagatak shokaharta.
Abhuta shatrur jagatak shokaharta.
Naidagi kim naidagi kam tapami vodurajaha. Alam patak shila daro guna karo.
Alam patak shila daro guna karo.
Vishtak parardhya vyatito dukkiteshu.
Vishtak parardhya vyatito dukkiteshu.
Abhuta shatrur jagatak shokaharta.
Abhuta shatrur jagatak shokaharta.
Naidagi kam tapami vodurajah.
Naidagi kam tapami
Alam pataha.
Alam pataha.
Virtuous.
Virtuous.
Shila daraha.
Shila daraha.
Qualified.
Qualified.
Guna akaraha.
Guna akaraha.
Reservoir of all good qualities.
Krishnaha.
Jali. Paravidya.
Paravidya.
By others' happiness. Vyatitaha, distressed. Dukkiteshu, in others' unhappiness. Abhuta shatruhu,
without enemies.
Jagataha,
of all the universe.
Shokaharta, destroyer of lamentation. Naidaghikam,
due to the summer sun.
Tapam,
distress.
Eva,
likened.
Udurajaha,
the moon.
Translation. He will be a virtuously qualified reservoir of all good qualities. He will be jolly and happy in others' happiness, distressed in others' distress, and will have no enemies. He will be a destroyer of the lamentation of all the universes, like the pleasant moon after the summer sun. Purport. Prahlad Maharaja, the exemplary devotee of the Lord, had all the good qualities humanly possible. Although he was the emperor of the world, he was not profligate. Beginning from his childhood, he was the reservoir of all good qualities. Without enumerating those qualities, it is said here summarily that he was endowed with all good qualities. That is the sign of a pure devotee. The most important characteristic of a pure devotee is that he is not lampata or licentious. And another quality is that he is always eager to mitigate the miseries of suffering humanity. The most obnoxious misery of a living entity is his forgetfulness of Krishna. A pure devotee, therefore, always tries to evoke everyone's Krishna consciousness. This is the panacea for all miseries. Hare Krishna. We also see in ordinary human society some concept of virtue, a man who is not completely debauched, who's an upright, decent citizen. And compared to him is the licentious, the lampata, the drunkard, the person who beats his wife, who
doesn't fulfill any responsibilities. So relatively speaking, in material life, there's this concept also of trying to do good for others, being compassionate, charitable, happy, unhappy that others are suffering, and wanting to be everyone to be happy. This idea is also there. These are symptoms of the mode of goodness. But they're only relative. They're really just facades. If someone is not in love with Krishna, that means he's still envious of Krishna. We came to this world out of envy for Krishna. We committed the crime. Once you commit the crime and you're caught, tried, and you're sent to prison, you can't undo that fact. You're a convict. And that smirch will be on your name for the rest of your life. So we are convicts. Having come to this world, we're not Shakti Vaishavacharas, most of us. You know, Nitya Siddhas who just happen to have some special mission here. Some prisoners may claim I'm just, you know, I have no reason being here. It's just a mistake. Or I'm actually, you know, a spy for the CIA looking to see what's happening in the prison. Such fantasies may be there, but the reality is almost everybody is convicted criminal in the material world. And our crime is that we are envious of Krishna. We don't want Krishna to be supreme. We'd like to be supreme ourselves. Because of that, we can't be compassionate. We're basically envious. If we're envious against Krishna, how can we be friendly to anybody? We can only put on a show of love, of friendship, of kindness, of charity, magnanimity. It's just a big facade. It takes, you know, 1/1% of your wealth and spend it on charity. Or you spend a lot of money on charity, but it's just for tax deductions. So that you can, launder your money in the name of charity. Just like in Vrindavan and other holy places, there's so many people, businessmen come in and set up and build apartment buildings and call them ashrams. You know, put some deities on the ground floor, hire a pujari, call it a yoga ashram or whatever, and make money renting out the rooms. As a non-profit business, so that you don't have to pay any taxes. In the name of charity, you're just conniving to make more money. In the name of charity, it's just a facade. And any kind of material charity in this world, even so-called spiritual charity. Okay, look at this sadhu. He's giving knowledge to so many people, but his knowledge is poison. Mayavad philosophy. What good is he doing? He's encouraging his disciples to commit spiritual suicide by the nonsense he's feeding them. That's charity in the name of religion. So, to learn what is real charity, what is real virtue, we have to look at a devotee like Prahlad. Except for the pure devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we will not find anybody with real good qualities. Yashyasti bhaktir bhagavat yakinchana sarvayar gunais tatra samasute saraha. If someone is a devotee of the Lord, of Lord Vishnu, Lord Hari, and he has the qualification that he has no material attachment, then all the good qualities of the demigods reside in him. Harav abhaktasya kudo mahat guna. Where will you find good qualities in someone who's not a devotee of Hari? Only a false semblance, imitation good qualities, not the real thing, you will find. Manorate nasati davato bahi. His whole consciousness is directed outward into the material realm of illusion, and he's chasing after various fantasies. So how can such a good person have good qualities? He's completely misled, and anybody who follows him will be misled. The blind leading the blind. How will there be any proper direction? So one, to have actual good qualities, one must be a devotee of Hari and must be a kinchana bhakta. If you've got some kinchana, some ulterior motive then you are only a mixed devotee, like a demigod or some pious person on the earth who does some worship but really is not seriously interested either in liberation or what to speak of devotion. At least the Jnana Mishra Bhaktis are serious about getting out of this world. So they're not just materialists. But they have their motive, liberation. That motive blocks the development of true devotion, love of God. So both Jnana and Karma must be kicked out. Jnana Karma Adiyanavritam. Not kicked out gradually. Just like someone is renting property from you, you cannot legally kick him out immediately. But you arrange that gradually the premises are vacated as far as quickly as legally possible. So we should kick out Jnana and Karma as quick as we can without violating the laws of nature and just failing at the task. You know, make an attempt. We do what's just impossible, what's beyond our capacity, and it just backfires. So better to do practically what we can do to gradually kick out these Jnana and Karma tendencies, get them under control, and then kick them out. Gradually. Jnana Karma Adiyanavritam. Pure devotional service begins from the stage at which one is free from the dominance of the desire to succeed in this world and the desire to become liberated. You may still have some vestige of them in your heart and in your behavior and thought, but they're minimized, kept under strict control. Just like an addict who's allowed a dose of his addiction, but under strict medical and legal supervision. Like that. We have our material propensities. We can pursue them, dovetailing them to Krishna consciousness, but they have to be diminished gradually to nothing. Kabe mor, what is it? Visha vasana tucho hove. Tabe heribo shi. Is that right? Shri Vrindavan. Did I get it right? Maybe I mixed up the wrong lines. Narottam Das Thakur. When my vasana, my traces of desire, I've given up the conscious, the gross desires, I've brought my senses under control, I'm following meditative principles, but still the vasana is there, the old traces, remnants of those desires. But when those remnants become tuccha, so insignificant they have no real effect. It's like, you know, this phantasma, just flitting ghosts in the background. We don't even notice them. These desires are just, you know, background noise and don't really affect what we do and what we think. Then they become tucha. Just some peep peep in the background and it doesn't really, we don't even hear it. Then, well, what's the actual second part of the couplet? I don't remember. Then I'll see Vrindavan, or then I'll understand the love of Radha and Krishna, whatever it is. Then I'll become actually Krishna conscious. So we have Prahlad as the example of someone who is actually Krishna conscious, and therefore he's actually able to be happy in others' distress and pain by others, rather happy in others' pleasure, happiness, and suffer in others' suffering. Only because he's a pure devotee. Only because he's a kinchana. He has no material attachments. No desire for liberation, no desire for success and control in this material world. That's what we have to strive for, to make them zero. Gradually, but that has to be the aim. Hare Krishna. And he was born like that. Or even before he was born. We read in some Puranas that Prahlad wasn't so pure in his previous life, but that may be a different Prahlad. Likely it is, this Prahlad who was a Rakshasa or whatever in the previous life and was running around with a prostitute. May not even be the same person. Because there are several different Prahlads described in the Puranas. One of them is Shiva Purana. When he meets Lord Nrsingadev, he fights with him, has a sword fight with Lord Nrsingadev. That's not the same Prahlad that we know. That Prahlad was acting like a demon. No, our Prahlad, maybe we're a little in doubt about what he was in his previous life because of the confusion created by various narrations and different Puranas. But we know from the Bhagavatam what he was in this life, that even before he was born, he was taking instruction from Narada within the womb. And he was listening. He may or may not have taken further instruction or even diksha from Narada after his birth. That's not said in the Bhagavatam. Maybe said somewhere else what encounters he had with Narada after his birth. Maybe he only heard from Narada before his birth. But anyway, he was listening. He became Krishna conscious in the womb. And then from his birth, as Prabhupada says, here, beginning from his childhood, he was the reservoir of all good qualities. Normally, even an advanced devotee takes birth in the mode of ignorance, covered by ignorance. Most infants do nonsense, until they grow up a little bit. Although in the case of very great devotees, that general pattern is reversed, and we get persons who behave like saints from their very birth. But Prahlad was like that. He just wouldn't engage in nonsense activities, especially anything that involved considering anybody your enemy or material friend. He was, at the age of 5, preaching very vigorously to his schoolmates uncompromised version of Krishna consciousness. Very dangerous to do in this situation. We cannot imitate Prahlad. If we do, we'll get ourselves killed. His father did everything to kill him. And if we had the same power of violence exerted against us, we wouldn't last very long. We cannot expect to be protected the way Prahlad was, because we don't have the faith that Prahlad had. So we can't go out in the midst of real demons and speak like that to their faces. We will get ourselves killed if we imitate Prahlad Maharaj. That's not boldness in preaching. That's foolhardiness. We have to realize our situation. Ishvade tadadine shu bali sheshu dvishatsu cha prema maitri kripo peksha yakkaroti samadhyamaha. A paramahamsa, who was it? Who was embracing tigers? Chaitanya Murari, the disciple of Sarangar Thakur, the one who was raised from the dead and became a disciple. That he was running around embracing wild animals. And Bharata, the son of Pururava and Urvashi, he was also playing with lion cubs as a little boy. But we can't imitate that. A middle-class devotee, one who is not on the level of a Paramahamsa, he has to be careful. He has to make careful discriminations. Not only to avoid getting killed, but also avoid making offenses, wasting your time with people who won't respond. So we have to discriminate. We show love to God. We show friendship to the devotees. We show kindness by preaching to the innocent, but the envious we avoid. Those who are demoniac and out and out envious, we don't waste our time with them or risk our security, safety, by being too frank with them. They won't hear, and they'll become violent if we force the truth on them. In the context of a preaching movement, we may not get killed, but we can get our preaching stopped. Just like in Armenia, devotees preached very vigorously, but then the government shut down ISKCON in Armenia. Also happened in Argentina. The government can just stop the movement. What's accomplished then? By your bold preaching. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees in Navadvip, when he was Grihastha, were constantly in fear of the government. You hear some of this talk in Chaitanya Bhagavat, devotees talking to Lord Chaitanya. If we do this open kirtan, then the Qazi will send his soldiers, or now Hussein Shah will send his soldiers and arrest us all and maybe kill us and take away our property. They were afraid, Lord Chaitanya's devotees. And he had to preach to them that Krishna is going to protect us. Yeah. He wasn't promoting open revolt, but he was promoting uncompromised, enthusiastic engagement in Sankirtana. Don't be afraid. If we do this, no one can touch us. If we engage and promote Lord Chaitanya's Nam Sankirtana. So Lord Chaitanya was not afraid of the government, even though his devotees were. And he showed that in his confrontation with the Chand Qazi. He organized a non-violent protest and defeated the Qazi, and Qazi surrendered to him. So if you're Lord Chaitanya himself, or if you're specially empowered by Lord Chaitanya, you can face the demons. Otherwise, we have to be careful. Following the proper order of Lord Chaitanya, we can preach boldly. We can even defy the government, but that should be under careful guidance. We shouldn't whimsically do such things, because we can cause a lot of trouble, get ourselves in trouble in the movement. Hare Krishna. So Prahlada is meant to be glorified, but not always imitated. We shouldn't expect our children are going to be Prahlada Maharaj either. We have to be realistic. Okay, any questions or comments? Yes, ma'am.
In the Shikshastaka, that word Lampatar is there also. And sometimes you see that there's two versions of translation in some book. There's one older version which is much more literal, and then there's another, I guess, a new version which is...
Translation of Shikshastaka or something else?
Shikshastaka.
Yeah.
The newer translation is... It has a nice photo, but it leaves it a little bit like the leaves it the Lampata part, the Shriya Karaiva part.
Yes.
The new translation doesn't mention that Krishna can do whatever he likes because he's a devotee and all that.
Yes, that's left out.
That's totally left out. And
I don't know the history of this. Yeah.
I was just wondering what caused the change or.
All I know about that the Prabhupada did it himself, another translation for the last chapter of Antilila, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya speaks the Shikshastaka and Krishna's Kaviraj comments on them in Bengali. And Prabhupada made whole new translations there. Otherwise, we had Prabhupada's translation is sort of canonical, it's the old one. But so I don't know in the songbook what was done. If someone made a new translation or edited Prabhupada's translation, or whether that's the Chaitanya Charitamrita translation, the new one, I don't know. You can look in Anjalila chapter 20 and see if that's the same translation. Yeah, that might be it. That they decided to plug in the Chaitanya Charitamrita translation.
Yeah.
Otherwise it would be strange. When Prabhupada has already presented two complete translations for someone to make a third one.
Yeah, right.
Hare Krishna. Anything else? Okay, thank you all. Glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.